From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm the Earth's last living centaur, Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark, New Jersey, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, everybody. It's wonderful to be here in Newark, New Jersey. And I mean that. And not just because later on we're going to be joined by Max Weinberg, the drummer for Bruce Springsteen E Street Band. No, it is because I grew up in a little town called Berkeley Heights, New Jersey, about 15 miles away from where we are standing. And I can't tell you what it feels like after so many years and so many travels and so many radio shows to finally do a show right here, a miserable 15 miles from where I started. Well, you can make the journey in an instant. Give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Al Bond from Tucson, Arizona.
Hey, how are things in Tucson?
They're great.
I've been to Tucson. Tucson's a lovely place. It's no Newark, but what is? What do you do there in Tucson?
Well, this will probably make some of your listeners smile. I'm an unemployed attorney.
We got one, everybody! What could you possibly do wrong to lose your job as an attorney?
Did you tell someone the truth?
Found a wallet in the lobby and forgot to share it with my partner.
No.
That's a joke. Bad economy, just a layoff, so yes. I've opened my own office, and I hope to start taking clients any moment now.
Any moment now. Well, everybody, if you need a lawyer near Tucson, Al is your man. Al, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's a television personality and the host of the cooking channel's My Grandmother's Ravioli. Mr. Mo Rocca is back with us.
Hi, Al.
We've missed you, Mo. Next, it's a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, Ms. Faith Saley.
Hi, Al. I still don't have a will, so maybe we can email each other.
There you go. Finally, it's a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher. It's Mr. Adam Felber.
Hi there, Al.
You're going to start us off, of course, Al, with Who's Bill This Time? Bill Curtis is going to recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize. Scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle's voice on your answering machine or voicemail. Ready to play?
I can't wait.
Oh, well, you won't have to. Here it is. Here's your first quote.
He could send it to us in writing. It'll save some time.
That was Republican Congressman Tim Hillskamp of Kansas. He was helpfully suggesting that somebody not be invited to come deliver a speech in person to Congress. Who?
Could that be President Obama?
It could be, yes, Al. That's right. You have to have some sympathy for the GOP. They are so mad at President Obama, but they don't know how to express their anger. They tried shutting down the government. That didn't work. They sent an Ebola nurse to the White House for him to hug. He seems to be immune. They're still so mad. They tried counting to 10. They tried thinking of their happy place, which, by the way, is Augusta National Golf Club. Nothing worked. So
they painted a false door on the side of the White House. But he just walked right in.
I know. So they're frustrated. They don't know what to do. So some congressmen and conservative writers have floated the idea of simply not inviting the president to deliver the State of the Union address to Congress. Turns out, no, this is true. They can do that. There is no law saying the president has to come. And besides, the fact that the president is not being invited to deliver the State of the Union address will tell us all we really need to know about the State of the Union.
He should just crash through the rotunda.
Yeah.
That would be like Bruce Willis.
Or Peter Pan.
Yes. Yeah, live.
Wait, so John Boehner actually has to invite him, right?
Yes, he did. Traditionally, As it is often done, as the speaker issues a formal invitation, Mr. President, we'd like you to come address the Congress on this date. And the president says, yes, I shall. And it's all very formal, and they bow.
And everybody gets their flag pins ready.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Well, they usually do an e-vite these days.
Yeah, much more. But if you think about it, this is a terrible way of trying to punish the president. We're not going to allow you to come give a boring speech to a lot of people who hate you.
Yeah.
But this was all shot down at the end of the week. John Boehner announced that he will invite the president after all, and this is the quote from Speaker Boehner, the more the president talks about his ideas, the more unpopular he becomes. Why would I want to deprive him of that opportunity? Unquote. But you know that Boehner wants the president to come so Boehner can sit behind him. That's his big moment in the spotlight. He's been practicing his new eye roll all year.
Yeah. It's just so rude.
Yeah, Boehner does that every year. He sits right behind the president and angrily sweats scotch.
Does that explain his skin color?
Yeah. Yeah.
He
just drinks Johnny Walker orange.
Here is your next quote.
And will we still be paying for Adam Sandler? Why?
That plaintive cry for help came from an internal document stolen from Sony Pictures. It was part of a huge trove of data stolen from Sony by, some say, what evil regime?
Pixar?
Those guys will stop at nothing.
A good liar.
No, when I say evil regime, I mean an actual evil regime, a geopolitical villain.
North Korea.
North Korea, yes. Early this week, Sony Pictures employees turned on their computers, and instead of their usual home screens, a clock showing the amount of years, months, and days until they can retire, they got just a mocking message from hackers stating they had stolen all of Sony's data and would release more unless their demands were met. It's a crazy plan, especially thinking you can further embarrass the company that voluntarily released Deuce Bigelow Male Gigolo. People think it was North Korea, first because the hackers used techniques associated with North Korean agents, and second, Sony is about to release a movie called The Interview, in which Seth Rogen and James Franco go over and try to assassinate Kim Jong-un, the dictator there. I guess that's possible. It's also possible that Sony is faking the whole thing as a publicity stunt. Yeah. I mean, really, North Korean computer hackers? The only computer they have in North Korea is like six old speak and spells linked together by tight strings.
That works.
Yeah.
But no, it was definitely them. Because, you could tell it's influenced them already. They've renamed a town in North Korea Untitled Rob Schneider Project.
Yeah. All right, very good, Al. Here is your last quote.
Lord, help us all.
Now, that was the LA Weekly reacting to news that what will now, for the first time ever, be sold online.
Wow, that one, I don't know.
This is
can
the truth.
I mean,
I'll give you a hint. There will no longer be a tiny, adorable human being between you and your Thin Mints.
Girl Scout cookies.
Girl Scout cookies,
Girl
yes.
Scout cookies.
Good for
the
you.
The Girl Scouts of America are now allowing their famous cookies to be sold online. Instead of an adorable little girl hawking cookies, you can now go to a website with a picture of an adorable little girl and order your cookies there.
Sorry.
What is this doing to the work ethic of our youth's parents who would send out office emails saying, buy my kids cookies?
We will never again have a reason to meet the people we work with because they will no longer have to walk around saying, would you buy some cookies for my kid?
I don't know. Some of us have browsers in which we've already disabled cookies, so we will have to do the old-fashioned way. I apologize to New Jersey for that.
This is going to be, they think it's so everybody to be more convenient, they'll sell more cookies, it's easier and everybody, it's going to be terrible. With no human being judging us, what's to prevent us from ordering all 80 boxes of Thin Mints that we want? Bill, how did Al do in our quiz?
Well, this judge's ruling goes for Al Bond.
Well
perfect
done.
Perfect score, 3-0.
Thank you, Al.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Thanks a lot. Have a great rest of the show.
Right now, panel, it is time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Adam, this week, the Chicago Tribune ran a column and the Washington Post ran two pieces debating what may be the most important issue of our time. What?
the most important issue of our time.
Yes. Or at least this week.
This week. That would be, was Christopher Walken really suited to the role of Captain Hook?
That's a debate. Clearly, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, his accent isn't very Neverlandish. All right, I'm going to need a hint on this. It's a hot debate this week.
It's another pop culture controversy that came out right before. It was released 30 seconds long right before Thanksgiving.
Oh, the new Star Wars trailer.
Right, and specifically, what issue in the new Star Wars trailer?
Oh, that hilt, probably.
The hilt on
the flaming
lightsaber.
Hilt.
Yes. The new lightsaber. That's what the big thing is about.
It's a stupid hilt.
Well, wait a minute. Let me explain. The new lightsaber in the teaser trailer for the new Star Wars movie has the same old plasma blade we've seen on prior Jedi, but it also has a plasma crossguard and the hilt. Just by saying that sentence, I became a virgin again.
It's amazing how that works.
This immediately set a firestorm of debate in the nerd community. Would a hilt do any good on a lightsaber? Wouldn't that present a danger to the Jedi Knight wielding the lightsaber himself?
Yes, it would. Yeah.
What does a boob feel like? I don't know. There's a lot of questions about the new Star Wars movie. Would old characters be back? Would there be a new droid? And what would be the new racist stereotype in this movie?
Yeah, they're almost out of them at this point.
I know. I'm hoping for Jews. I'm hoping it's our turn.
Oh.
Meet Darth Bernstein from the planet Boca. He is not a Jedi, but he does sell them their robes at a ridiculous markup. So the holidays are just about here, and the post office is, of course, getting really busy. No business has time to deal with that, so avoid that hassle. Just go to Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for all of your letters and packages using just your computer and printer. Couldn't be easier. For a 4-week trial and an offer of free postage, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in WAIT, W-A-I-T. That's Stamps.com, enter WAIT, and thanks for supporting one of our supporters.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Faith Seeley, Adam Felber, and Mo Rocca. And here again is your host at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. You know, the one question we get more than any other here at Wait, Wait is, why didn't anyone stop you before it was too late? But the second most common one is, what goes on at Wait, Wait, you know, behind the scenes, like the secret stuff no one knows about? Well, the secrets are out. We made some videos that will answer your questions, maybe shock you a little, maybe scare you, maybe give you some hope for the human race. You can see them all at waitwait.npr.org. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Natalia in St. Louis.
Hey, Natalia, how are you?
I'm great.
Now, St. Louis is great. It's been going through some tough times recently, but what do you do there?
I tell the future of beer.
You what?
I do econometric forecasting for a large local brewery, so I literally tell the future of beer.
Can you tell us something about beer that we would be surprised by? Something about what's going to happen in beer in 3 years from now? Everybody's going to be drinking what?
Craft beer.
Craft
lots
beer.
Lots and lots of craft beer.
Really?
I can tell you something about beer.
What?
The second largest annual beer drinking event in the United States is right here in New Jersey at Princeton's annual reunion.
I'm going to fact check that, but...
Well, welcome to the show, Natalia. Now, you're going to take your perception, your amazing powers thereof, and play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Natalia's topic?
The prize is mine, and mine alone.
There's nothing like being a winner, even if what you win is nothing anybody would ever want. Now, we heard a story that this week that tests that assumption. Each of our panelists are going to tell you a news story about a chance to win a really unusual prize. Guess the real story, you will win the best prize of all, Carl Castle's voice. You ready to play this?
Yes.
All right. First up, let's hear from Faith Saley.
For years, Vladimir Putin has been attempting to boost Russian fertility by displaying himself shirtless, presumably to get the whole country in the mood. Turns out his country women have gotten bigger, just not with babies. Now Putin's setting his sights on the booming obesity rate among Russian ladies. His government has announced a national fitness competition to find the motherland's most vigorous vixen. The tight, lucky winner's prize will be a horseback ride with Putin himself through the Siberian mountains. In the world's sexiest Slavic photo op, both she and the president will be topless. Putin promises to canter. The fitness challenges are designed to display both strength and femininity through feats that smack particularly Russian. These include figure skating and gymnastics, but also speed peeling potatoes for borscht, assembling and disassembling Matryoshka dolls, and dragging to bed unconscious men who reek of vodka.
A competition in Russia. The prize is a horseback ride with on next to Vladimir Putin himself. Your next story of a strange but seemingly valuable prize comes from Adam Felber.
If you're a loyal reader of Britain's Wells Journal, you can stop listening now because you're already wells aware of their stunning and hotly contested new competition in which one lucky Brit stands to win, wait for it, a potato chip. A crisp, yes, but wait, not just any crisp, an unusually large one. You see, the Journal's newsroom was agog the other day when, upon opening a packet of Walker's cheese and onion crisps, a solitary and massive Frankenchip, if you will, presented itself. A 100 millimeter by 55 millimeter beautiful monster, the likes of which not one of the Journal's reporters had ever seen. Knowing a scoop when they saw one, the staff immediately wrote up a news item with an attendant competition, to wit, tell us, quote, why I should win the huge crisp, and you could win it. The original discoverer of the chip, news editor Oliver Hume, is not amused. Quote, it's not exactly cutting-edge journalism, is it? Give me strength. Still, others are excited, and the paper is determined to pick a winner before the prize is past its prime, stale, and soggy. You know, like Prince Charles.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. A very large potato chip being offered as a prize to the readers of a British newspaper. And lastly, your last story of the prize to end all prizes comes from Mo Rocca.
At 355 pounds, William Howard Taft was our heaviest president. He did not, as legend has it, get stuck in a tub. He got stuck in the doors of a Pennsylvania Avenue trolley car for 2 hours, during which time a scamp snipped off his coattails and a street urchin even stole one of his spats. Anyway, he did not get stuck in a tub because he had a tub that was built for four. Now that's a White House scandal waiting to happen. The extra tubby-sized tub now sits in Taft's boyhood home in the Mount Auburn section of Cincinnati. To bring more visitors to the home, local station 91.7 is sponsoring a very special giveaway, a free bath for four in the Taft tub. The filthiest family in Cincinnati contest has already drawn 93 of the Queen City's most unclean foursomes. As 91.7 host Andy Travis puts it, the family that disdains together remains together.
All right. These are the things, Natalia, that you could win. Use your analytical powers to decide which one is real. Is it, from Faith Saley, a chance if you win a fitness competition to go horseback riding, topless, presumably with Vladimir Putin? From Adam Felber, a very large potato chip that was found in a packet of crisps, as they say, at a British newspaper? Or from Mo Rocca, a bath for four in President Taft's own bathtub? Which of these is the real prize we found in the week's news?
Wow. I I think Taft actually had a giant bathtub, so I think I'm going to go with that one.
You're going to go with Moe's, who Moe, by the way, is, as we all know, a presidential history enthusiast.
Right.
And he described the thing about Taft's very large bathtub. You're going to choose his story.
Yes.
For the filthiest four in Cincinnati.
Right.
All right. That's your choice.
A lot of filthy fans.
Are you saying I shouldn't?
I'm not saying anything.
Great.
You're the person who's supposed to know stuff. All right.
All right,
well,
let's go with the potato chip then.
You're choosing Adam's story of the large potato chip.
Well, now that she's had time to Google it, I don't see why she wouldn't answer that.
To bring you the correct answer, we spoke to one of the people running this contest.
Every morning, I buy a packet of cheese and onion flavored Walker's crisps, and there it was, pristine and golden on the top of the packet.
That was Oliver Hume, news editor at Mid-Somerset News and Media, and the lucky man who discovered the giant potato chip. Congratulations, Natalia.
Wow.
You eventually got it right. Well done. You earned a point for Adam, and you have won our prize. Carl Castle recorded the greeting on your home answering machine. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for playing with us.
Potato chips. How my mouth just drips. Potato chips. How my mouth just drips. Crunch, crunch. I don't want no lunch. All I want is potato chips.
And now the game where we like to ask interesting people about things that simply don't interest them. The drummer, as we know, is the heartbeat of any band. And Max Weinberg played drums for one of the most important musicians ever, a man whose voice defined the aspirations of a whole generation. I refer, of course, to Meatloaf.
That's right.
And he also spent about 40 years drumming with Bruce Springsteen in the E Street Band. Max Weinberg, the proud son of Newark, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Welcome home.
Thank you. It's
welcome
good to be
to
back.
Wait, don't tell me.
Good to be back in Newark, my hometown.
Now, the story is that you answered an ad that Bruce took out in the mid-70s?
That's quite right. In the newspaper, The Village Voice, I answered a want ad. And I was the 56th drummer of about 60-something drummers that went down. Right. To play.
Now, Bruce, everybody calls him the boss. Do you? He is your boss.
Do you go to him to ask for a raise? Does he issue a W-2 at the end of the year for you?
Does he make you do like a performance review?
A year in
review?
Performance review.
He come in, he's sitting in his office, says, well, Max, your drumming has been very fine this year.
You know, if you've ever seen our concert, you know that we have a performance review every night. It's true. Because we'll go out and we'll play for 3 or 4 hours, and usually that's about 30 songs. On any given night, 15 of those songs are what we call audibles. You literally don't know what he's going to decide to play. And if you're lucky, he'll tell you. But that doesn't happen every night either. He'll give you a little hint and a guitar chord he may be
really?
Playing.
Really?
So, yes.
He'll just launch into it, and
he'll
expect
just...
you to be on it. Has he ever,
oh, yes,
like, started a song, and the rest of you guys are like, mm-hmm. We don't know what that is?
Yeah. Absolutely. Panic when Bruce Springsteen goes in his patented voice, 1, 2, 3.
Amazing.
And you're like, oh, my God.
And
we don't know that.
Well, and he gets to 4, and you don't know what song he's going to play.
Right.
And if you know most of our songs, it sort of like goes 1, 2, ba-ba-da-ba, a little drum beat that fills... So,
that's you. You're supposed to do the little drum beat.
That's
there.
Me.
Right.
That's me. And I'm at 3, and I don't know what 4 is. And
they're mostly about cars. How wrong could you go, really?
You know, I've heard that said, but then I know that Bruce once was saying, yeah, well, they're really about the people in the cars.
That's why he's the boss.
That's why he's the boss.
We read that you were famous among drummers. For, and this may explain why, for your focus on Bruce. There's even a picture of you in Wikipedia. Note a drummer, Max Weinberg, staring intently at Bruce Springsteen, as he always does.
Absolutely.
And so your view of the show is Bruce Springsteen's back.
His entire back, his back, his waist, his butt. And I'll tell you, regarding that view, some of you... may remember the Born in the USA album.
Yeah. Sure. The Born in the USA album, and for those who are young and just hear it on Spotify, the album cover is a picture of Bruce Springsteen's ass.
So when we were making that record, there were in the studio we were in New York City, and there were these prototype record covers lined up on the wall. And most of them featured Bruce's face. There were a couple of cars with some people in them. And there was this one shot of what became the album cover. Mm-hmm. And I voted for that one because that was the view I always saw. Yeah.
That's the Bruce I know.
That was it.
I know that, but
I didn't recognize him from the front. I've never seen him from the front. So I've never seen him from the back.
I mean, you know his butt. I mean, better than anybody. But was it touched up at all, that album cover?
No, that's, you know, as they say, that's true butt.
Oh, yeah.
That is true butt.
Yes. Yeah, really.
No butt double.
Right.
There.
Yeah.
That's the view.
Has your view of the butt changed over the years? Has the butt changed, is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. What is the evolution?
This recent international tour, have you been looking at the butt and going, hey, I guess we're all getting on in years? Or has it been more like, wow, that he's so timeless. His music is ageless, as is his butt.
You know, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I know.
The music is timeless, and so is the butt.
There you
nice.
Are.
Nice.
Well, Max Weinberg, it is a pleasure to talk to you. We've asked you here today to play
a
game.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
We're sorry, New Jersey.
Now... Regular listeners may know that I have taken perhaps more than my fair share of pot shots at my home state, and we are here today to make amends. We are going to ask you, Max Weinberg, three questions about wonderful and interesting things about New Jersey, taken from the magisterial book, The Encyclopedia of New Jersey, which, despite what you might have heard, does not have a leopard print velour cover. It's a real book. Answer two of these questions correctly, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice in their voicemail. Bill, who is Max Weinberg playing for?
Corey Phillips of Denville, New Jersey.
There you are.
Happy to do it.
Here we go, Max. Your first question. New Jersey has long bestowed gifts on its neighboring states. It's a generous state, am I right? Such as which of these, A, beginning in 2005, emissions from a factory in Hudson County have periodically made Manhattan smell like maple syrup. B, in 1702, a Cherry Hill resident invented the gold chain and gifted it to William Penn of Philadelphia. Or C, in 1996, Delaware increased tourism revenue 10% when they debuted the slogan, boring, but we are near New Jersey.
I really do need to go with number one, I believe.
The maple syrup. You're right. It was, in
I'm
fact,
right.
The smell of maple syrup.
All right. Hey.
I think...
You have to be from New Jersey to know that.
That's true. I think it's the nicest smell we've ever sent.
Well, wait a way.
All right. Next question. As you know, New Jersey is known far and wide as the Garden State. It says so right on the license plates of the 8 million cars registered in New Jersey. To show off its verdant agricultural heart, the state does what? A, it offers free screenings of the classic Zach Braff movie Garden State at state parks every week all summer. B, it imports tomatoes from Chile and gives them out for free at highway rest stops. Or C, it paints the containment walls alongside the Garden State Parkway a nice bright green.
Whoa, those are terrible, terrible questions.
Yeah.
They told you I was a drummer, right?
They didn't mention that.
I'm going to go with number two.
You're
think it's
go
the
with
tomatoes.
No, it's actually they paint the walls of the parkway. You may not be able to tell, but they are painted green because it is the Garden State Parkway.
I'd like to see them name one wall that's painted green in
here. Yeah.
All right. Well, it doesn't matter. Because you have one more chance.
All right.
Here's your last question.
Be
better
protest.
Be good.
Now, these days, of course, New Jersey is known for producing the finest in reality shows. But back in the day, New Jersey was once the global capital for the manufacture of what? A, toilets. B, feminine hygiene products. Or C, dentures. In fact, we had a practical cartel. This is true. If you wanted one of these, you had to come to New Jersey.
All right, I'm going to say toilets.
It's toilets!
Toilets!
Yeah! There you go!
This is true. You may not have known this, but the American sanitary wares industry was born in Trenton, New Jersey, and for many years, the manufacturers there had a virtual toilet cartel. If you wanted the toilet, you had to talk to people in Trenton. It was broken up by the federal government in the 1920s. Who knew? Not me.
If you still want a toilet, you have to talk to the people in Trenton.
Yeah, that's true.
Can
So it should have said, Trenton makes so the world can too.
Yeah.
So you might say that this company was a number one in a number two business.
There you go.
Thank you, number one and number two.
I can't understand why Bruce doesn't give you your own microphone back then. That's another story. Bill, how did Max Weinberg do in our quiz?
Well, Max did a number two, so on this show you won.
Hey. Thank you. Thank you, world.
Max Weinberg, a proud New Jersey and a drummer for Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band, the leader of the Max Weinberg Quintet. Max Weinberg, thank you so much. So nobody likes going to the store shopping for mattresses. You're in there, you're dealing with salesmen, you feel awkward lying on the mattress for 30 seconds to see if you want to keep it. It's terrible. Here's a better way. It's from one of our sponsors, Casper. They're an online retailer for mattresses. Casper mattresses are American-made. They're obsessively engineered for comfort. Really, these guys are like nerds about it. They use two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, to give you just the right amount of sink and bounce. Technical terms, people. And they have a risk-free trial. You can try out your Casper mattress for 100 days. And you get free delivery and returns if on day 99 you don't like it. It's outrageous comfort at a polite price. So go to casper.com/waitwait to check out their options. And they have a special offer for listeners to this podcast. Use the promo code waitwait to redeem $50 toward a Casper mattress of your choice. Thanks.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Adam Feldler, Mo Rocca, and Faith Saley. And here again is your host at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill digs up the bones of Rhymey Hoffa. It's a listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. All right, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Adam, during the press conference to announce a new anti-swearing campaign in Russian soccer, where apparently the language was getting too salty, the CEO of the Russian Premier League was caught on camera doing what?
Swearing.
Yes, indeed.
I have done this show before.
Yes, that's true. Russian soccer wants its fans to behave, so this week they unveiled a new T-shirt with the slogan, Stop Swearing. But when Premier League executive Sergei Chaban had trouble finding the shirt during the live televised unveiling of the thing, you could hear him ask, and I will translate from the Russian, where is the bleeping T-shirt, the Stop Swearing one, unquote.
I think we've identified the problem in that organization.
I think so. Mo, the Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn knows it's hard to get local hipsters to go to church, right? So this Christmas, they've put up ads telling people that going to church will give them a great chance to do what?
Does it have to do with the afterlife? Or?
No, it has to do with the phone in their pockets and what people like to do with their phones, specifically the camera on their phones.
Gosh, it's something, okay, if they go to church in Brooklyn, something special will happen to their phones.
No.
Yes. They will be stolen.
Jesus will appear.
Jesus will appear, actually.
Jesus will appear on your phone.
You do what? At the church with your phone.
When you give yourself a selfie, you turn into Jesus? Yeah. the Holy Eucharist. It's like a transubstantiation app. Oh
my God. I say we keep this going.
Let's keep going.
No.
Seriously.
So when you go to church,
this is what we've established.
With your cell phone,
you go to church with your cell phone, which has a camera on it.
You can take a picture of Jesus in the church.
Yes.
With
yes.
Who?
With who?
With whom?
Who else is in the picture?
Oh, a priest.
Ah!
No! No.
Bill, take away a priest.
No. You can take a selfie with Jesus.
Yes!
Yes!
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, I have to tell you.
Yes, Mo.
I have to tell you that.
Please.
That last guess was a Hail Mary.
Ah, yes. You can take a selfie with Jesus. The Catholic Church preaches that Jesus is always with us. In fact, he's right behind you. So this new ad, Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn, shows a woman sitting by herself. She's holding out a phone to take a selfie, like the kids do. But in the picture, you see the woman and this bearded, beatific man smiling behind her. It's not some rando creepo who got into the church. It's the Son of God. This raises all sorts of questions for the woman. For starters, why didn't Jesus offer just to take the picture himself? His hands were occupied.
Too soon, Peter!
But it is Brooklyn, so yeah. There's bound to be some other bearded guy in a loincloth there.
That's true. Faith. Our phones, as we all know, can sync up to our car, the lights in our home, our other phones. But now, thanks to a new device, we can also sync them to what?
Can I have a hint, please?
Well, unfortunately, they'll do a lot of things, but they still won't change the diaper.
They sync up to our babies?
Yes, they do. Or they can, Faith.
How? I need to do this immediately.
Your baby's not synced?
Oh, God. You have one of the old babies.
Oh, yeah.
You
need to baby six.
You totally need to upgrade your baby.
Yeah.
So the new device is called the Pacify. Get it? Pacif-I. Mm-hmm. And it's a new Bluetooth-enabled pacifier that syncs your baby to an app. So you put the pacifier in the baby, and then you can monitor with your iPhone the baby's sleep, temperature, and location from up to 50 meters away or just out of smell range. And if you lose your baby, you can use the Find My Baby app, or as it's called, the I Am a Terrible Parent app.
This assumes your baby takes a pacifier.
Yeah.
Which many babies don't.
Well, what do they do?
They take a nipple, Mo.
Oh. Well, you
so can I need an eye nipple.
You need an eye nipple.
Eye nipple. Yeah.
Eye nip, yeah.
Or a nipple eye. Nipple eye?
Nipple
yeah,
eye.
Nipple eye?
You're not really going to be looking for your baby.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Hello, hello, baby. You called. I can't hear a thing. I have got no service in the club. You say. Did you say, oh, you're breaking up on me? Sorry, I cannot hear you, I'm kinda busy.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on the website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. And be sure to check out this week's How to Do Everything. Mike and Ian will tell you how to punch someone in the face. Or at least make it sound like you punched someone in the face. And here's a question for the fans of How to Do Everything. Guess who they punched in the face. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Alex Davis from Boston, Massachusetts.
Hey, Boston, my other favorite place.
Yeah.
And what do you do there?
Actually, a professional dancer and a choreographer.
Really? Wow, that's tough work, though. Is it hard to find work as a professional dancer?
You do what you do, you know? next week, I'm dancing at a holiday party at the Four Seasons.
Yeah, are you an elf?
Stuff like that. No, I'm wearing a tuxedo.
Oh, okay.
Oh, maybe he could be a formal elf. Well, welcome to the show, Alex. Bill Curtis is now going to perform for you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on 2 of the limericks, you will be a big winner. Ready to play?
I am very ready to play.
Here's your first limerick.
Some phones fall and land with a splat, but SoftPaw Tech takes care of that. A flexible spine helps my iPhone be fine. It lands extra soft, like a...
A cat.
A cat, yes. You know cats always land on their feet, no matter how hard you throw them. Apple's next phone may do the same. They filed a patent for a phone that uses accelerometers, GPS, gyroscopes, and dark Apple magic. So when you drop the phone, it will turn it sort of breakable side up before it hits the floor. Unfortunately, this amazing technology is useless until they also figure out how to make a phone that can swim in a toilet. All right, here's your next limerick.
As air bubbles fill my back pocket,
My flight crew won't flee from the cockpit, for science had mercy, and I waft some Hershey's. This pill makes my farts smell like...
chocolate.
Yes! Yes!
I read that.
Did you really?
You did.
Yeah. A French inventor has developed a pill that makes your past gas smell like chocolate, or so he says. According to the website, the pill allows you to, quote, fart through the new year in grand style. It uses a special blend of cacao, fennel, seaweed, and plant resin, which sounds like you would smell less like a chocolate cake and more like a dead vegan. Here is your last limerick.
Little rodents are trained to think twice when humans help out through a splice. Some cells from mankind are expanding their mind. We've put human brain cells in...
mice?
Yes.
Mice.
In order to better understand intelligence, the University of Rochester, their scientists there have implanted human brain cells into mice. Amazingly, it made them smarter. They did this by putting the hybrid mice and regular mice in a maze and watching to see which one used bigger words to explain why they couldn't figure it out. Well, I'm not used to this kind of maze, actually. You know, normally when I grew up, we were running mazes, you know, that mainly went to the left. This is a right-handed maze. You can't expect me to do this.
I mean, your right-handed maze is not for nothing. It's not really my style.
Yeah. I don't feel comfortable here.
I'm going to make a suggestion. Just drop the cheese where I am.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. How about that, Four Rice? Drop some cheese.
Bill, how did Alex do in our quiz?
Alex was amazing.
You were.
Yeah. Oh. 3-0 championship.
Well done, Alex. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
And good luck with the holiday party.
Thanks.
I saw a mouse. Where? There on the stair. Where on the stair? Right there. A little mouse with clogs on. Well, I declare, going clip-clippity-clop on the stair.
Now onto our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Adam has 4, Faith 3, Mo 2.
All right, Mo, you're in third place. You're up first.
All right,
the clock will start when I begin your first question, fill-in-the-blank. Protests erupted after a grand jury decided not to indict a police officer for using lethal force against a man, this time in blank.
Staten Island.
New York, yes. A coalition of 17 states filed lawsuits against President Obama following his executive action on blank.
Immigration.
Right. On Wednesday, Iran became the most recent country to launch airstrikes against blank forces in Iraq.
ISIS.
Right. Officials in Russia said that falling blank prices have begun to push the country into a recession.
Oil.
Yes. A Florida man was arrested for attempting to leave Walmart with blank shoved down his pants.
A gas grill.
No.
It's going to be something wacky.
6 pounds of cow tongue. According to the National Retail Federation, sales on blank dropped by 11% this year.
On Black Friday.
Yes. Residents of Newcastle, Pennsylvania are complaining to city officials that ever since November 1st, their town has blanked.
Ever since November 1st.
Yes.
Their town has been in.
This is where the lightning round becomes an electrical storm.
No. Actually, I'm not.
It's been annexed
by New Jersey.
No. Ever since November 1st, the town of Newcastle, Pennsylvania, has smelled like cat pee.
God.
Residents are upset, except for that one crazy old lady who insists, "I don't smell anything." The EPA investigated and found no hazardous substances. The mayor admits there's a problem, but reminds residents he did get the whole town free on Craigslist, so what do you want? Bill, how did Mo do on our quiz?
Well, procrastination pays off. He got 5 right, 10 more points, 12 for the lead.
All right, very good, Mo. Faith, you're up next. Fill in the blank. This week, President Obama nominated Ashton Carter to replace Chuck Hagel as the blank.
Secretary of Defense.
Right. Almost 1,000 buildings were left without power after a major cable failure caused massive power outages in blank.
Detroit.
Yes. On Wednesday, a federal appeals court ruled that blank would be legal in Florida starting in 2015.
Okay, marriage.
Yes.
Marriage equality.
A congressional aide for the GOP was forced to resign after writing disparaging remarks about blank's daughters.
Oh. President Obama.
Yes, indeed. American Airlines had to ground a flight to Hartford after a woman's blank proved too disruptive.
Chocolate farts.
No, her emotional support pig. After winning an appeal of his lifetime ban from the NFL, running back blank said he was hoping for a second chance.
Rice.
Right, Ray Rice. Idina Menzel stirred rumors that there would be a sequel to the hit animated film Blank.
Frozen.
Yes, a man in Amsterdam was injured when he was hit by a blank.
Oh, flying clog.
So close. He was injured by a scooter that was launched into the air by a pop-up toilet that was emerging from the ground. Happens all the time. Never saw it coming. So Amsterdam is filled with these underground toilets, and every night they sort of come out of the ground.
They're vampire toilets.
They are. So that people can use them rather than, you know, being in the street, and then they disappear back into the street so people don't try to live in them.
Like a vampire.
Exactly. And somebody had parked his scooter right on top of one of them, so it popped up, threw the scooter into the air, and it landed on a guy's head and hurt him. Bill, how did Faith do in our quiz?
Faith got 6 right for 12 more points. She now has the lead with 15.
Well done. All right, then. So how many does Adam Felber, a proud son of Long Island, need to win?
An easy 6.
There you
easy
go.
Six.
This is for the game, Adam. Right. Fill in the blank. After a new lawsuit accusing him of sexual misconduct was filed on Tuesday, comedian Blank broke his silence to thank his supporters.
Bill Cosby.
Right. This week, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called for early elections and dissolved Blank's parliament.
Israel.
Right. 3 founders of the pro-democracy movement in Blank were released without charges after surrendering to police on Wednesday.
With the Hong Kong.
The Hong Kong, yes. The CDC reported that due to mutations, vaccinations against the blank virus have become less effective.
Flu.
Right. A man in Texas was arrested for breaking and entering a butcher shop because he blanked.
Needed to use the bathroom.
No, he was caught because he entered the butcher shop, ate a bunch of meat, and passed out. They found him there. Heavy winds delayed the test launch of NASA's Orion capsule, their first step in a plan to land humans on blank.
Mars.
Right. Then Thursday, a spokesman for the University of Texas happily reported that the college had finally discovered what happened to all their missing blanks.
Brains.
Yes! This week it was reported that a medical research center at the University of Texas had misplaced over 100 preserved brains.
Brains.
While scientists at the school were initially worried that the department had been ransacked by a pack of pacifist zombies.
Brains.
Turns out the brains had been thrown away.
Oh.
10 years ago. Bill, did Adam do well enough to win?
He needed 6 to win. He got 12 points. He has now a total of 16, and he does win.
Yay!
Go home, Magilla!
I win a broken potato chip.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists to predict, now that they're selling cookies online, how next will the Girl Scouts propel themselves into the future. But first, let me tell you that support for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and NPR is brought to you by eSurance, with a mobile app that lets customers manage their policies, report claims, and find nearby services at eSurance.com. Welcome to the modern world. The John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age, and the Schultz Family Foundation, supporting and empowering veterans and their families in making a successful transition to civilian life. SchultzFamilyFoundation.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman is our benevolent overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our intern is Faster Pussycat Kelsey Hardison. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to Kitab Rollins and the staff and crew at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center. BJ Lindemann composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Waltrover and Miles Dernboss. Technical directors from Lorna White. Our CFO is Andy Ann. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what is next for the Girl Scouts? Mr. Mo Rocca.
The Thin Mint will be renamed the Not Necessarily Thin Because Girl Scouts Don't Body Shame Mint.
Faith Saley.
They're creating a line of holograms. One is a friend who follows you everywhere called the Tagalong. The other is a bodyguard called the Samoa.
And Mr. Adam Felber.
Merit piercings.
Well, if the Girl Scouts do any of those things, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Adam Felber, Will Lofton, Faith Saley. Thanks everyone at WNYC and all my New Jersey homies. And thanks to all of you for listening in less fortunate places. I am Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. NPR.